Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Just Believe Radio on the RightStream Network. I am your host, Lisa Tarvis. I am so excited about today's show, really excited about today's show. We have a couple of fantastic guests on. The first one we're going to talk to is really good at basically telling us, well, keeping our spirits high and keeping our something called a self expert. I'll read her bio in a few moments, but I was attracted to her information from her book title, The Fastest, Simplest 7-Step Method to Discover How to Be Your True Self, Change Your Life Now and Be Happy Today the Easy Way. I mean, hello, that's what we all want to do is be happy. So I'm really excited about Harvey and on. And then later in the show, I have Stephen Lewis on, and Stephen is the founder of the AIM program, and it's about energetic balancing. And I got to tell you, you've got to stay tuned and listen to that part if you have any health issues at all, or if you have any fear of any health issues or fear because of your genetic makeup, you know, something that runs in your family. Definitely stay tuned for the second half as well. It's going to be a really, really it's going to be one of those shows that can really change your life. So really excited about it today. Anyway, I am your host, Lisa Tarvis. I'm a metaphysician, board-certified holistic health practitioner, intuitive, author of the book Just Believe, and, of course, radio show host. Every Sunday, the show airs at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Each week, we have special guests who are experts in the field of spirituality or holistic health, metaphysics, sometimes the paranormal. If you are one of those, if you are an expert in one of those fields or know of someone that would be a good fit for the show, please send me an email at lisa@lisatarvis.com. That's lisa@lisatarvis.com, LISATARVES. And I will schedule you for the show. I'm scheduling sometime, I think I'm in November or December now. So got lots of prep time if you need it. So anyway, I don't want to spend too much time blubbering about things going on and, you know, things like that, because I want to get right to the show today. I want to introduce our first guest, and I'm going to read her bio. It says, "Want more days filled with yay, be easy? That's precisely what the world's number one true self facilitator, author, trainer, attorney, and coach, Tiffany Jameson Vanderloot. I don't know. She can pronounce it for us all. I butchered it when I was talking to her earlier, too. Is inviting you to experience through her energetic, enlivening, and fun true self facilitation. A self-acknowledged personal development misfit and founder of the Yay Me University," which that's just the coolest title ever, Yay Me. She is on a mission to take you beyond what she playfully calls the self-help trifecta into the space of limitless generative possibilities and opportunities of self-expertise. Author of three books, her book, The Radical Self-Expert, The Fastest, Simplest 7-Step Method to Discover How to Be Your True Self, Change Your Life Now, and Be Happy Today, The Easy Way, was number one on Amazon bestseller list for self-help, self-esteem, and number two for self-help happiness. She has developed and created two definitive self-assessments, the True Self-Test and the True Two Self-Test. So I want to bring her on the air, and first of all, let her pronounce her own name, because I, just like I promised, Tiffany, I messed it up. When I look at it, I think for some reason Vanderloot, and I know that's wrong. I don't know. Anyway, pronounce your name for everyone.
Okay, so I told you I pronounce it incorrectly, but for Americans, it's Vanderluck.
Vanderluck. Okay,
yeah,
Vanderluck. And just so everyone knows, Tiffany does not reside in the United States anymore. Where are you living now?
I live in the Netherlands now.
Of course you do. Of course you do with that name. Everybody probably looks like, no, that's not how you pronounce your name when you say who you are.
Really, I know, right? Like everybody here who's going to be listening over here in the Netherlands, you know, because it's the internet, so you can listen from anywhere. They're going to be like, that's not how you say it either. I slaughter it when I say it to people, so no worries.
That's just funny. Well, they can all know that they obviously have a more sophisticated way of pronouncing things than we do. Here in the U.S., we're just, you know.
Americans, yes.
Yeah, my maiden name was Brown. I was real happy with that. It was nice. Nobody ever said, hey, how do you spell that? Everybody knew how to spell it. Nice and easy.
Right?
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's get to this amazing book. First, start by telling everybody why you wrote the book. What made you write a book about such an important topic, really?
Well, okay, so I'm sure you hear those babies in the background, and forgive me, you know, they make the houses out of brick, so everything echoes here in the Netherlands. But back in 2007, I met and married my husband like in 5 days, and the one thing that we both wanted was babies. We wanted babies together, and so we kept trying to get pregnant, and we kept losing them. And we lost 5 in total before we actually delivered 3 healthy ones. And through that process, you know, that was when the secret came out, I believe, in like late – well, it was out already, but I got hit to it in like late 07. And so we started doing the vision boards and doing everything that everybody was telling us we should be doing. I mean, we were all in. We had our vision boards. We were really like working it, you know. Well, what nobody was telling us was, like, there was this whole subconscious mind thing that we had to get on. You know, like, there was other stuff at play. We thought, you know, after watching the book, you know, reading the book and watching the movie, you know, you just put up your vision board and, like, go, yay, you know, I'm going to get this, you know. And it, like, pops up. You know? No one told us the other part, right? And so, yeah, we kept losing those babies. And, in fact, when we lost the twins before the twins that we have now, that was like the final straw for me when I was like, okay, wait a second. I'm doing what everybody's saying. You know, what the heck is going on? And as an academic, I started investigating, like, what gives? You know, why am I doing what everybody's saying, you know, and it's not working? Like, what's the problem? And I started sharing my findings or whatever with other people, and they were like, yeah, you know, I'm having the same problem. And it grew into, like, all of us were just like these a band of misfits. We were like, damn, you know, are we so bootleg that personal development doesn't work for us? Are we doing it wrong?
Right.
Clearly, we suck, you know, what the hell is going on? I mean, like, really, was that, like, sort of like, dang. And, yeah, that's how it sort of started. And then when I put the pieces together, you know, little by little, you know, we were able to get pregnant, stay pregnant, and we delivered the twins that we have now, Bliss and Stryker. And then 6 months after they were born, I was pregnant with Spring, and we weren't even expecting her. Like, that was just like, oh, okay. And so I reverse engineered everything I did and then looked at every time I was successful, what I did. Like, how was I different than the times that I wasn't? And, you know, it was essentially, it wrote itself, really. And I said, you know, I have to tell people about this because I know just from the people that I was sharing this with in America, there are people struggling with this, you know, and not getting what they want. They're just falling deeper and deeper into this hole. And I don't want that. Like, I know something that can help if you choose it, or at least I just want to create the space for you to have it. And then you can decide if it feels light for you. So really, it was just like the result of suffering.
But you know what? Sometimes that's what we learn. That's what we learn from, though. You know, I mean, a lot of times we learn from our hardest challenges.
Got that right. Yeah.
In your case, for sure.
Yeah.
So, so tell me, what is a self-expert? You know, you say that a self, you say that being a self-expert saves you time, energy, and money. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, a self-expert is someone who, like, well, self is that, you know, is defined as that individual, separate and distinct from all others, right? A separate and distinct from any place, anything, anyone, your parents, your DNA, everything. That's the self, right? And then you have your expert. Expert is a person who has special knowledge or skill. So a self-expert is someone who has special knowledge and skill in who they be, separate and apart. And I guess I said be instead of am, separate and apart from everyone else, right? And many of us, well, very few are experts, and more experts in other people than we are in ourselves. And it saves you time,
right,
energy, and money, because you can make decisions that are uniquely true for you. And then you're not wasting money on picking the wrong mentor because so-and-so said, oh, he's a really great mentor. And then you go shell out 50 G's and you're totally, like, energetically misaligned. And then that money is gone. And then, like, you're out 50 G's and you're, like, wondering, like, what happened? And you're feeling worse, right? Or you jump into a business relationship with someone and you're energetically misaligned. Or, I mean, it hits all the parts of your life, right? Like, when you're not aligned with who you uniquely be, then it's going to cost you something, you know, and it's going to cost you time.
Yeah.
It's going to cost you money. It's going to cost you energy when you can just go, you
absolutely
know, I'm not going to do that. And, you know, think about how much time you would save just from agonizing over the decision, Lisa, right? Like, how many times have you been in a situation where you're just like, dang, you know, before, you know, you came to where you be now, right? And you were facing something, and you just agonized over it and thought about it and thought about it and thought about it. Okay, what if it? Oh, someone's going to be upset. Oh, what? I mean, think about all that time you wasted.
Right.
You know? I mean, you don't get that back. Like, that time is gone forever.
And I always say when we agonize over, I tell all my clients this, when we agonize over things going on and our emotional issues and things like that, we're actually expending the energy we should be using to protect ourselves health-wise.
See,
you know, so we end up sick.
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
Maybe just with a cold, maybe just a cold, but maybe something a lot worse than a cold. You know, so
like,
so I think, right? So you have to you really have to think about what you're expending your energy on. I mean, that's so true. That's so true. So in the beginning of your book, you tell your reader to stop reading it if they are committed to this actually is funny because I love this. I love this. I love that. I love when you're just like, you know what, just put the book down, okay? you're just not going to get anything out of this. But you tell your reader to stop reading if they are committed to positive thinking, conventional wisdoms, want to relive their traumas and dramas. Why would you tell a reader not to read your book? Why would you tell somebody, hey, don't read your book? You're not going to make a lot of money doing that, Tiffany.
Yeah, see, I'm going about this thing all wrong, right? Well, you know, so
actually, at least if you make it to the number one in Amazon, you're not doing so. You're doing something very, very right.
Well, at least for that one day. Yeah, well, you know, the thing, I think that, right, I think the thing that people are always looking for is, like, more of the same. And okay, I have always been sort of a little bit quirky. You can call it quirky. I'm a giggler. Like, all these little things that make me me. And, you know, there's a wonderful quote at the beginning of the book by Richard Buckminster Fuller. And he says, like, okay, listen, you can't keep doing the same stuff and get a different result. But he puts it so much more eloquently. You never fight the existing reality. Like, create a new reality. Right?
Right.
And that makes the existing reality obsolete. And what a lot of people try to do is they just keep trying to do what they hear and see other people doing. And it's not working, but they just keep doing it, you know? And he's like, look, don't fight that. Like, stop trying to fight against what you see and just create something new. You know, don't try to fix up the gremlin. You remember the gremlins back in the day, the car, the gremlin? You can do what you want. It's just to be a gremlin. Like, seriously? You know, you're still a gremlin, right? Or
right,
you can just go make, like, a new car, you know? So, like, which is, you know, and then you don't even deal with the gremlin. And, in fact, it is obsolete, right? So it's the same thing with personal development. You know, I say that people need to create something that's haute couture, right? Uniquely tailored for you, because we are all so very, very different. And studies bear the truth that, you know, positive thinking doesn't work for everyone long term. And it only works if you are already positive. And now most of us come from, like I had, most of us have low self-esteem. And I came from like a house of horrors. So I was all messed up. And I had no self-esteem. I had less than no, I was like in the arrears, right? Like I, you know, I was mortgaged to the hilt of my self-esteem. So yeah. Me trying to think positive wasn't going to do it. And in fact, the more I tried to think positive, like the worse I felt because I was like, God, I can't even think positive. Think positive, Tiff, come on. And I was like beating myself up and creating this whole energy around trying to be positive. And you know, anything you try to do, you can't, you're not actually doing, right?
Right.
And so they did a study at the University of Waterloo and they found that it does not work. And if you're positive and you told to think positive, then it works marginally. And I was like, well, that explains it. But, you know, I was like, oh, well, that makes sense. Okay, now I'm not struggling with this anymore. There's a different a different go about it, you know. But it does. But it works for people who are already positive. But if you have low self-esteem, then it's you're really going to have a challenge to make that that change that you want to see in your life.
Absolutely.
But then
I wrote an article not long ago about choosing to be happy, that we make a choice, that we choose whether we're going to be happy every moment, every day, whatever. And one of the things that I talked about in that article is that some people are just born positive thinkers. They're just born like happy and great attitudes. And it's so annoying to the rest of the world, okay, because most of us aren't, you know, so that is so, that's very true. And it's the majority. I mean, majority of people have to work hard at this sort of thing. They need tools. They need tools to make it happen. And by the way, all the listeners, if you have any questions for Tiffany, you want to call in, you can call in at 347-945-7246 and press 1, and I'll see you in the queue and get you on the air as soon as there's an appropriate moment. Again, that number's 347-945-7246. And the chat room's open. I actually remembered this week, everyone. I opened the chat room. Anyway, so in the book, you talk about breaking the rules of personal development. Mm-hmm. Now, is that like billions of dollars are spent on personal development? I mean, there are so many books out there. There are so many audio tapes, or I don't know, do they have audio tapes?
Seminars,
all the
audio
tapes. I know. I just dated myself.
We got gremlins and audio tapes, right?
Wow. That's not cool. Anyway, so people are spending a lot of money on this. So why do you say that the rules are the old model? And what is the self-help trifecta?
Well, you know, the rule we've, you know, touched on a little bit ago, Lisa, what the self-help trifecta is, like, okay, the positives. I call it the positives. Those are like your affirmations, you know, being positive, you know, self-talk, whatever. And then you have your knowing your big why, right? And then your success mindset. So we talked about the positives in the study, right? Okay, in the knowing your big why. Now, how many of us know why we want to do something and still don't do it, right? So we go, I know why. I know particularly with me and fertility and stuff, you know, I know a lot of women who were going through fertility challenges, and some of them had weight issues, and they found like, okay, weight can affect your fertility. Well, for some women anyway. And they would be like, oh, I know I need to lose weight. I really want to have babies, but they kept eating, you know, but they knew why. They knew. They could tell you. They could articulate why they wanted it, and they wanted it badly because there's the pain of infertility is just, God, I didn't know that kind of pain existed, you know?
You can
articulate why, you know, people who want to stop smoking and can't seem to do it, or, you know, just different things where you know why you should be doing something and you're just not doing it. So really, is your knowing why really going to be the catalyst? And the reverse happens. So people say, okay, I know why I want to do something, and then they don't do it, and then they feel worse, right? So then there's like this cycle that happens, right? Oh, and it's and do you notice how it always comes back to I suck, right? It's never like the system is broken, right? It's never, okay, well, maybe I should get a new system, get a new model. Because, no, it's always whoever the person who's knowing the why is the person that sucks.
Right.
You know, and that's what I want people to get. There's nothing wrong with you. Like, the system is broken, not you. And then the success mindset. Now, this is just hilarious because, you know, we hear that if we think like somebody else, that will make us successful. Like, really? Really? Like, thinking like someone else will make me successful. Okay, copy that. So, you know, I'm a nerd, obviously, and I talk a lot about, like, Nikola Tesla, who's like this weirdo, and Thomas Edison, very different inventors, very powerful people who created amazing inventions, right? Very different personalities. One was a hard worker who just like, okay, I'll do it 1,000 times until it works. You know, I'll just keep adding something. But Tesla, he never wrote anything down, right? He thought about it and visualized it and then went and put it together, right? So, but no one would ever tell Tesla, you need to be like Edison. No one would say Edison, be like Tesla. And in fact, they hate each other. Or even Bill Gates and Steve Jobs, right? Like, they're very, very different personalities, but both had a very, you know, a unique perspective. Magic Johnson and Larry Bird. Okay, like, I'm really old, right? You know, all of these people were very different people, you know, and that's what makes us successful, when we tap into what is true for us and then enhance that. You know, we're here to help each other, you know, bring out the best in each other, not be like someone else. You will always fail trying to be like someone else.
Right.
Right? Because you can't be them.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think somebody, we do that with celebrities and things like that too. We want to be exactly like that. We go try and find the same outfit somebody's wearing or the same bag someone's carrying or whatever. And I'm always like, really? Come on, like, be yourself. Sometimes I went shopping with my daughter the other day, and I bought this crazy hat. It's like a fedora for women. It's hysterical. It's just so cute. Yeah, it's like gold metallic. You know, it's just really. Yeah, it really is. Actually, it's kind of cute. But I'm like, I'm not going to buy it. I'm never going to wear it. You know, I'm like, I'm going to look like a retard walking around with a stupid hat on my head. And, you know, so I'm like, I'm being all weird. And I'm like, you know what, damn it, I'm buying it. I'm like, I'm going to buy it. I'm going to wear it. You know? So it's like, you just sometimes got to get a little outside the comfort zone and be you as an individual instead of trying to mirror everybody else. Now, Yeah, and I'm really, you know, that's, you struggle because you don't want people, you know, a lot of times, like my mom used to always tell me, they're staring at you, Lisa, because you look good. And I would be like, they're staring at me because I look like a weirdo or something, you know? And she's like, no. She's like, that's not how you think. You realize, you know, because I'm tall, I'm 5'9". And I've always been tall. In fact, I used to be 5'10", so that's, I'm shrinking now. That's how old I am. So I'm really tall, and I refuse not to wear a little bit of a heel at least once in a while and stuff like that. So, you know, my dad would always tell me, you know what, Lisa, you're tall, you can't do anything about it. There's nothing that looks worse than a woman who's tall that slumps over. He's like, you stand up tall and you stand up and you know, you're straight, keep your back straight, and you'd be proud of how tall you are. And I find myself like remembering that from my childhood, even now, you know, when all of a sudden everybody, like, I'm standing in a group and everybody's like, you know, 5'4", and I'm like feeling like an Amazon, you know, I still remember that triggers back in my head what my dad said. So
now you had someone that was, you know, telling you good things, like,
My parents are really good. I mean, you know, we joked around. It could get a little mean with the joking and stuff like that. But they were bottom line. They were very positive, people, and did, yeah. I'm one of the lucky ones that had a good childhood. So I'm very blessed. Yep. So now, of course, positive thinking right now and all the affirmations. Oh gosh, we talk about affirmations all the time. They're very popular. They're very in right now. They're very in. It's in vogue. You know, it's cool now. But you say that affirmations and positive thinking can actually be harmful to your dreams and your self-esteem. How do you think that's true?
Well, you know, it was like that study I was telling you about. Like, they had the people say positive, affirming things to themselves. And they measured, like, how they felt. And they actually came away feeling worse. Like, so, you know, because then, like, when you're like, if you're really trying, okay, I am beautiful, and you feel ugly and you have low self-esteem, then saying I am beautiful when you feel ugly just reinforces and affirms that you feel ugly. Because it's an energetic thing, not just the words part, right?
Right.
They don't tell you that. Like, when you're reading these books and these things, they're not telling you that stuff now. You know, they're just saying, okay, just think positive. You have to be a positive thinker. You have to say these affirmations. You know, affirmations. Today I am the most best day. That, you know, like, really, but no. Because it doesn't matter how much paint you have if your foundation is cracked. You know, you got to spackle. You got to plug some holes, you know, and then put the paint on. And, you know, I don't even use affirmations anymore. I just start using what I use in my book, and it's way more effective, and I don't have to believe it. And I don't have to, like, force myself to try to believe it, and I don't have to do any of that thing. I just do the whole bypass, because, like, once I understood what the subconscious mind was, then it allowed me to figure out something that will work better. And so I liken the subconscious mind to, like, a laptop, right? And so, you know, like, when you buy your laptop, it has, like, information already on it, right? Like, it has, like, the hard drive. Well, our hard drive is all the stuff we've ever experienced, right? But the cool thing about our laptop is that in the search function, if you type in, like, whatever you're looking for, like document, right, everything with document will pull up on the screen. So if you type in, if you say to yourself, I am beautiful, your subconscious mind goes, no, you're not, because it's going to go and find stuff that's already in the computer. And there's nothing in the computer that says, I am beautiful, right?
Right.
Or I am great. Or I am whatever. So what you can do is you can bypass that resistance that happens by asking a question. So I usually say something like, what would it take for whatever to show up, or what would it take for me to have, you know, and since the mind is designed to go and find the answer, it will do the same thing. But, you know, there's a guy named Noah St. John, he does, like, affirmations, which is a little bit different from what I'm doing, because he wants you to do, like, an affirmation, but just turn it into a question. But I genuinely want people to energetically make it a question. Like, don't ask the question with the answer already in your head, and or make a statement and then throw, like, a question mark at the end of it to turn it in to a question. Like, you really want to be in that space of, like, huh, you know. And what's his name? I can't think of his name. He's the author of Curiosity. He talked about, like, being genuinely curious. And Einstein talks about this, too, about being curious. And Rilke, one of my favorite poets, talks about, like, living in the question. So you want to constantly, like, be asking yourself questions all day, like, huh, what would be fun for me? What would I like? What would it, you know, like that. And then, you know, what would it take me to release this, you know, 20 pounds? What would it take for me, you know, and then just allow the energy, the space to open so that you can receive more possibilities instead of, like, conclusions. Oh, well, that means I'm going to have to work out 10 hours a day. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know, nobody wants to do that.
No, not too many people. So tell me the book, The Radical Self Expert, and then you have the fastest, simplest 7-step method to discover how to be your true self, change your life now, and be happy the easy way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what? Really? That's a really long book title, by the way. But it's a whole lot to take on and say there's a simple way to do that. You know, that's kind of big. You know, that's a big statement. So, what is that about? Like, how are there really 7 steps to, you know, making it that is it really that simple? Can we actually change that?
Yeah. Yeah, actually it is, you know, it really is that simple, because a lot of the angst and upset we feel is because we're trying to resist what is already, what we know is true for us, right? We're resisting that. And it's like that from the Gospel of St. Thomas, like, you know, you have to set whatever that is free or else it's going to destroy you, right?
Right.
And that's the thing, like, think about a time when you're fully expressed. Right? When you're not shutting down, when you're not in protection mode, where you're not judging you, you know, and you're told, like right now, like you being an interview, you know, having your own radio show, right? You're totally expressed, you know?
Right.
That's like, okay, in this moment, this is you being you. Now, many of us think, well, it's not possible to have that all the time or most of the time, right? But it actually is if you are being true to you. Like if you are, you know, following what's light for you is, and following, I don't say light, but what's expansive for you. If
right.
you are, like, not judging, like, that's a huge one. Like,
yeah,
tell me
that.
You know?
Yeah.
And we're judging what, you know, and judgment has nothing to do with our true selves, because if we look at our babies, they don't lay there and go, oh, my God, you know, I'm so fat. Why do I eat so much? You know, I'm yeah. fat. Oh, my God. You know, they don't think
lay off that.
That
boob. I need to back off the boob a little bit.
Right.
Yeah.
I have way too much teeth for me, you know, like they're not saying that, you know, they're just totally, you know, in that moment and they don't, they, if they need a hug, they ask for a hug. And if you
yeah.
give them a hug when they need a hug, they don't go, oh, well, it means less because I had to ask for it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They
yeah.
don't, you know, they're just like, yay, thank you. And they just
thank
scurry
you.
Off. You know, and it's just, you know, but we lose that, you know, it comes from like, we lose that space, you know, because we go into judgment of ourselves and, okay, what are some people going to think about us? What do I think about me? You know, why? You know, it's like all this stuff, all this monkey in our head. And if you lose
yeah.
all that, who would you be? Like,
right.
you would be that happy person. You would choose what feels light for you. And you, and since you're happier, your family's happier, you make more
Absolutely.
Money, you stop second-guessing yourself. You don't, you know, you feel well more. You have healthy babies. Yeah.
Yeah, I totally am on board with that. I think that, you know, I really spend my life trying to be true to me, trying to be me, trying to not,
mm-hmm.
I always try to be myself. And you know what? Some people don't like that. You know, some people are like, yeah, could you be a little less you, you know? And I talk about that in my book. What you see is what you get with me, you know, I'm going to say what I'm thinking. I mean, I'm not going to purposely hurt anybody's feelings. That would be mean, but you know, still I'm going to be who I am, and I'm going to put things in the way I do. And I think that so many people don't do that. We're all like walking on eggshells or maybe it's just putting on a phony front. I don't know what it is, trying to make ourselves look like things are more perfect in our lives than they actually are. I don't really know, but that drives me crazy. I'm like, I like real. I like real. I like honest. And I think when you're real and you're honest with yourself, you're happy.
It's easier to be, you know, I, it's the easiest thing on the planet is to be Tiffany. Like, that's so easy for me. I don't have
right.
to think about it. I don't have to try. I don't have to, you know, oh my God, you know, and yeah, I just like, I'm okay, today I'm Tiffany. Yeah, you know, but, you know, there's no competition. You know, it's just me just being. And it's interesting, you know, that people have a problem with you being you. You know, and I tell people when you find that people aren't receiving you, right, when they're not open to whatever energy that you're being and they want you to be less, the first question I have people ask them is, they say, okay, so I can be less of me for you if I choose that. Do you need me to be less of me for you? And then people all usually go, huh? Right? Because me being less of me has nothing to do with me. You not being able to receive all of me has to do with your ability to receive, not mine. So
right.
if you need me to be less, then I want you to tell me that. I want you to say to me, Tiffany, I need you to be less happy so that I can be happy.
Yeah.
Right?
That's,
so then after I say that, okay, you need me to be that for you. And then they look at you, of course, crazy because they're like, okay, wait, right? I follow it up with, okay, well, I'm willing to do that if you need, right? But I have to ask, why would you need me to be less happy so that you could feel okay? Can you tell me about that? I'm curious
right.
why you would want that. And the moment you say that to people, they take a step back. Because then you're like, okay, wait.
Right.
Then they see that it's about them, and it's no longer about, it's not about me. You know, it's about how you can't be around someone who's happy. Why can't you be around people who are happy? What's wrong with you?
Right. Right. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. That makes complete sense too. It's like, you know, that's
yeah.
That's interesting.
It totally changes the dynamic, right?
And
it puts it back where it belongs.
Right. And you're saying that this can work in any aspect of your life. It can work on your finances, your weight, your business.
Mm-hmm.
Finding your purpose in life, you know, everybody's always looking at what am I doing? Am I doing the right thing? Your relationship.
What am I doing?
all of those areas, it can actually affect.
Yeah, of course, because we're whole people, right? So, like, you know, if it doesn't show up here, it will show up someplace else. You know, it would be great if we could just like compartment our lives, like, okay, well, this is over here, but that's not how we are. That's not how we think.
Right.
So it will show up in every, like, let's take a relationship, right? So, like, let's say two people meet each other. This is how judgment shows up, right? So, and that's huge. I call judgment an energy troll. Because
yeah,
it just takes your freaking energy. Yeah, it just takes away every possibility. It's a conclusion. It forecloses everything, and it shuts everything down. So here's an example. So let's say you meet somebody, right? And, you know, he's hot and, you know, and you're hot and you're like feeling each other. And then something happens like in 5-10 seconds, right? So then you're like, am I saying the right thing? Am I doing the right thing? Oh, he's really cute. Okay, he probably notices that I'm not smiling. Do I have lipstick on my teeth? Oh, my God. What did I think? You see, okay, all those judgments, right? So
right.
What happens when you start having those judgments, right? Now, he's going to perceive that, right? Because we're all energetic beings, right? And he's, okay, well, she's looking at me funny. Because you're changing who you be in that moment, right? Because, okay,
right.
Well, if you, okay, my skirt is twisted to the left. I'm going to turn to the left, and maybe he won't see. And then he's going to be like, okay, well, she's turning away from me. So does that mean she's not attracted to me? Okay, be calm. Okay, well, then I don't think she really likes me. Like, all these judgments are happening, and they're all in the other person's head, right? They're not even talking about what's actually happening. And the moment you start judging, now you're completely separated from you and you're completely separated from that person. Because you can't receive that person if you're in your head going, am I doing this right? Am I doing that right? Am I doing this? Okay, well, how's he responding? Okay, well, if he says this, then I'm going to say that. You've totally taken you and him out of the equation and instead put all of your judgments in its place.
Right. I got it. Yeah.
So that's the way that we do that.
right. So how is this method that you're talking about, this radical self-expert method, how is that different from something like the law of attraction?
Well, you know, the law of attraction is, you know, big on like positive thinking and stuff. So, and, you know, affirmations and you think what you become and all that stuff. And that is partially true. Right, but we know that there, as a metaphysician, you know that it's so much deeper than that, right? Because it's all about the energy, right? And so, you know, it has to go like a level deeper. It's not enough to just think positive. It's like
positive.
You have to be the energy of the thing that you need. And actually, I don't think I know because there's proof that you don't have to be positive or negative. I think that you have to be almost like neutral, and that way you can receive everything and then choose what feels right for you. See,
right.
If you think something is positive, then, I mean, even if it doesn't serve you, you're going to do that because we've been conditioned to, this is a positive thing. See, and because that's a conclusion, it forecloses other possibilities. And if it's negative, oh, well, we don't want to be negative, right?
Right.
So, like,
right.
Sales are negative. You know,
yeah.
Salesmen are negative. I don't want to have to sell my services. That's negative. Okay, well, okay, then you're not going to sell. See? So I want people to get out of the polarity of what is positive and what is negative and just be in the space of I receive and then I choose. I receive and then I choose. Right? And then then you don't have the judgments and stuff attached to it. And you don't worry about what other people are thinking, and you're not judging yourself for choosing it. You just go, okay, this feels light for me. I'm going to follow that. This feels expansive. This will expand someone else. So this is what I choose.
I like that.
So
I
you
like
don't
that.
Have to be positive
you
or negative.
More, it's taking more control. It's having more self-control, more control over your own destiny, kind of, you know?
Yeah. And because then you're not beholden to labels, you know,
right,
what people
right,
label
right.
stuff at. Yeah.
Absolutely. We have a caller on the line with a question. Can
okay.
Do you mind taking that? Okay. Hold on one
oh,
second.
Oh, no, please. I love connecting.
Okay.
Hi, how are you?
210. Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good. I had a few questions first before I actually asked my main question. Are you intuitive at all?
I don't really label myself intuitive, but I seem to perceive things.
Okay.
And
so I guess I can kind of what you were speaking about earlier kind of does definitely resonate with me. I'm in a relationship right now, and I'm not really sure where things are going, you know. I think it's because I constantly think and analyze. And one of the things you were saying was about, you know, like what you were just saying right now about labels, you know. I basically told this person that I liked them, and they kind of set me down because they are going into the military in January. But like I've told them before, I mean, we'll get to that bridge when we get there, you know.
Right. So your question for me is?
Oh, yeah.
Not that far.
I'm over here explaining in detail. I guess I want the best outcome, so that will serve my highest good.
Okay, so how about this? So what feels lighter for you? Like what feels more expansive for you? Like, are you asking, like, what, are you going to wait for him, stay with him? Like, I guess I need to know, like, what feels light for you, to be with him or not be with him? What feels lighter?
I want to be with him, yeah.
Okay. So being with him feels lighter for you, like feels more expansive. When you say, I'm going to be with this person, that makes you feel open, like, you know, like the heavens open? Or does that make you feel like, oh, then I'm going to have to deal with the military and da da da? Like, what feels lighter?
No.
Be with him or
no.
not be with him?
Be with him definitely feels lighter. We have a great, 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 great connection.
Okay, so then I guess I'm a little bit, okay, so if it feels lighter to be with him, then you're concerned about what?
The way he perceives things.
Yeah.
Is he trying to back out of the relationship because of the upcoming changes in his life?
That's the thing that I don't understand, because I mean, we still hang out and everything. He doesn't, you know.
So you're looking for him to say, like, we're going to stay together, you're going to be mine, we're going to be committed, we're going to, like, is that what you're desiring from him, or
that's what I'm wanting, but I know that's not possible for him, you're right.
Okay. or both, you know, hey, I'm an open thinker. Okay. Okay. So you want him to commit to you?
Yes.
Okay. So what... So could you be with him without the label of commitment?
I could, yes.
Okay, so then the label commitment is a limitation, right? Because you get to choose. You can choose commitment, or you can be in the relationship. Which do you choose?
A being it,
okay.
Obviously.
There you go.
Yeah.
See, always ask yourself, when you run up against a limitation, say, okay, what am I refusing by this limitation that I'm choosing, right, or this label that I'm choosing, and then fill in whatever the label is. So if you want to be, like for you, it's commitment. So you can say, what love am I refusing by this commitment that I'm choosing? Because it's a choice, right? So if you, so every time that you choose a judgment or choose a conclusion or a label, you are refusing something else, because the two can't exist. Possibility and conclusion can't exist in the same space, right? So you can have, or you can be in relationship with him and share space and do fun things and allow things to just be and develop, right? Or he can commit to you and never speak to you again. Which do you choose?
Yeah, definitely the first one.
See, it's a choice.
Mm-hmm.
you keep following what feels light for you. This feels light. It feels expansive. I choose it. And then, you know, in another 20 seconds, you can, you know, sometimes, you know, I have three babies and, you know, I love them to death, but, you know, I'm human. I mean, even Jesus had time alone. And I'm like, Lord, I feel like I'm going to catch a case with these kids, right? So I go, okay, I'm going to choose this. And then in 20 seconds, I'll choose again. And in 20 seconds, I'll choose again. So instead of trying to look 2 weeks out, just go, you know, the next 20 seconds. What do I choose for the next 20 seconds?
Yeah.
It's a lot easier, yeah, right, if you just do 20 seconds.
It's funny that you say that in regards to, like, alone time, being alone.
Mm-hmm.
I last talked with him on Wednesday, and I, you know, just got busy with school and stuff, and I really didn't, not that I wasn't thinking about him, I didn't put forth the effort. And sure enough, like Friday, he's messaging me like, you can't text, you can't call. I'm like, oh, sorry.
Well, you know, I guess the question for you would be, why didn't you communicate with him? Why weren't you open to him on those particular days?
I wanted to give him space because I wasn't sure if he was going through something.
Interesting. So you were being less of you based on something that you really had no way of knowing for sure.
Yes.
Okay. It's a choice. You can choose that. Or you can choose, like, you know what? I really dig this guy, so I'm going to share space with him. And I'm not going to worry about stuff that I have absolutely no way of knowing definitively, yay or nay. In this moment, I would like to talk to him. I'm going to call. I choose to call him.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that different? That's a different energy, right? And I'm like, okay, well, I think he's going through something, so I'm just gonna wait and see. And see, all of that has nothing to do with you being. Those are all conclusions. You're not being. You're not being if you're like, okay, well, I'm gonna wait and see. I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna do that and that. No, just be. What would the be that you be do in that particular moment in those 20 seconds? You get to choose.
Yeah,
it's almost so simple that it you know what, it's almost like you overthink it because it's too simple. It's like, you know, when you're talking about, you're not talking about a long term goal to, you know, okay, I'm gonna play this game so that he thinks this, and then you know what I mean, like, it's
right,
craziness. Instead, you're just being real. You're being you in those 20 seconds. At that very minute, you're being,
right,
you're doing what you want to do, what you choose to do. So,
right, what's it like for you?
It's actually simpler, and if it's simpler, it's got to make your life better.
It's so much easier to be you.
Yeah, our lives are complicated enough without trying to make other people, manipulate other people to feel a certain way or to think about us or whatever. If we're not naturally somebody, you know, if we're not naturally thinking about this person, or they're not thinking about us, then there's something off balance there, you know? So, like, do what you feel and let it and see what happens. Be you, you know.
You know
be
what's
you.
Interesting, Lisa. It's like when we be the energy that we be, right, and we create the space for other people, right? So we show up and be who we be, and that person, like, he told you, like, why you couldn't call, you couldn't write. Now think about those days that you wasted. Think about that time
right.
you don't get back. What if
right.
he showed up and he was like, you know, man, you know, okay, I'm not very cool, so forgive my lack of coolness, but, you know, I really miss you today, and, you know, I'm so glad you called because I was thinking, we need, you know, I want to cement this commitment. You just missed an opportunity. You don't know what would have happened if you showed up as you. Instead, you showed up as something else, someone else. And then you're like, okay, well, now I want this. Yeah, well, that's not what you chose 2 days ago. So because you switched, then he switched. See, like, you have to be the energy that you be and create the space and not base who you be on what someone else is going to do or will or won't do. You be you, and you create the space for them to receive you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so then I guess now how should I proceed?
just be more you, sweetie. Every 20 seconds, you make a choice. Like, okay, what energy do I want to be? You know, you get to choose. You can choose to, like, distance yourself and, you know, they think, I don't know, and they teach us this. I'm not sure why. But, you know, you have to get over someone. You know, you have to be strong. And, no, I don't. I get to be whatever energy I choose. I'm an infinite being. I get to choose infinitely. So you get to show up and be the awesomeness that you be. If you be loving, then be that energy and share that energy with him. You know, and then you can even ask him, like, what do you need from me right now? You know, how can I support? I know you're going to the military soon. You know, rather than me, you know, trying to, you know, get you to do this or get you to do that, you know, I want to be me. And who I be is someone who genuinely cares about you. How could I show up for you right now? Because who I be is an energy of love. What would love look like for you? How could I be that for you?
I like it. And I think it works. And if you want to really understand it, and read her book. I mean, honestly, you know, not just trying to plug your book here, Tiffany, but the bottom line.
I appreciate it there, Miss Lisa.
The bottom line is it's all in there, like all this stuff, and this is like you do kind of have to do a little brain retraining a little bit because you're asking yourself questions, you know. So you know, the book's called The Radical Self Expert, the fastest, simplest 7-step method to discover how to be your true self, change your life now, and be happy today. The easy way. Okay.
That's a long title.
Yes, I know, right? And I've been telling her. But it's you know, but if you get the book, you can probably download it on Amazon, right, Tiffany? It's in it's electronic.
Oh yeah, you can get it there, and you know, and then send me the receipt, and I'll give you some goodies to go with it. And there's like a free video course also that you can get that goes through each step, you know, and has like little cheat sheets, and it's an audio download. You can even download it, and
cool. I mean, that's the best thing you can probably do is to just. You know, buy her book. You know, that's what I'm here to do. I'm here to sell books for Tiffany. So, you know. Anyway, so thanks so much for calling. I hope it helped.
Thank you. Yes, it definitely did.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing space with us.
Thanks.
He's so adorable.
I know. We're down to our last few minutes, but I do want to ask you, I know you talk about how, you know, like 97% of our thoughts are not our own. What does that mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so, you know, this is like going to be the really, really abbreviated version, right? Okay, so you know how, like, babies are born and they don't really have any thoughts, right? You know, like the whole quote, you know, we're all born geniuses, but it's the process of living that degenionizes us, right?
Right.
We're born and we don't have, like, any real thoughts. Right, we don't have a connection to anything, and we're all like these energetic, vibrating beings. Right? Have you ever walked into a room and you perceived the energy? Right?
Oh,
you're like,
God.
Ooh,
that's
somebody
that's
was
my,
in here.
That's my minute-to-minute life. That's how I roll.
See,
yep.
Okay, because you're deeply sensitive and you're deeply connected and you're deeply intuitive. Now, if you imagine you're perceiving the energy of people you've never met. Right, you're able to pick up on the vibrations of people that you've never met, right? And I mean, it's like crazy because we're like little, you know, SpongeBobs, right? And we're picking up on everybody's stuff all the time. And then what happens is we perceive that energy and we never question it. We just go, okay, well, I'm having this thought, it must be mine, right? I'm having this thought, it must be mine. So what happens? You walk into that room, the energy is sucky. And you're like, oh, this energy is sucky. And they go, you know, remember that time when I went to a sucky place? Oh, man, that was really sucky. And what happens when you start thinking one negative thought, right? One sucky thought. It leads to another and another and another and another.
Right.
And it all began with that initial energy that you perceived from someone else.
Right.
So you're picking up on other people's thoughts all the time. It's like, you know, the old scientific thing where they plucked one, the G string on a guitar, and then another guitar rang the G string, played the G string.
Right.
that's how our thoughts are. That's how, you know, our thoughts are energy, and we're sending it out, and we're perceiving and picking up on everybody else's. Now, if you're deeply intuitive, right, and those, that's usually like the sensitive people. I don't like the word intuitive, but like, you know, the deeply sensitive people, people who are big on self-development, personal growth, and that sort of thing, you know, we tend to be more sensitive because we're
right.
trying to make sense of like, what the hell, what is all this monkey in my head? Like, why,
right,
you know, what's going on, right? We want to make sense of it, right? And so the more you try to make sense of it, the more stuff you're able to pick up on. So what you have to do is when you get a thought, you go, whose thought is this? Right? Like, ask that freaking thought. Like, whose thought is this?
Right.
You know, and chances are it could be your mom, it could be your dad, it could be, you know, someone down the street. But just by asking the question opens the space. You don't naturally go to, I'm thinking this, it must be mine, and now you're headed down the rabbit hole of my life sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, and 97% of that monkey mind, it's not even your stuff, and then you make a decision based upon stuff that wasn't even yours, based upon something you perceived from someone else, and you thought it was yours, so then you go and make a decision, not based on your truth, but something that you were entrained to believe or ingrained to believe or energetically you picked up from the chick on the street.
Right.
And now you're like wondering, why does my life suck? Wait, you
yeah.
didn't make a choice for you. You made a choice for someone else.
Right. Right. Gosh, I'm learning
helpful.
So much. I'm learning so much.
Oh, yay.
I'm really, yeah, I really am. I mean, it's like, wow, really, this is good stuff. All right, so since we got to wrap this up, unfortunately, because we are out of time, I want you to have a couple of minutes to tell everybody where they can find more about you, your website, where they can buy your book, and you pronounce how your book title this time. You go through. You go through that mile-long book title.
Right? Big laugh. Everything about me is big. Yeah, big energy, you know, just big. Yay, big. Okay. So my website is theyayme.com. And yay is like Y-A-Y, me. Yayme.com. And there's like so many goodies on there, free video series, the True to Self test, the negative addiction test, because believe it or not, we can actually be addicted to negativity. And so there's a test for that. And coming up on the 18th, now this is for all of you change agents and you people who want to make money doing what you love, right? And I don't believe like in selling. I believe sharing is the new selling. So I'm hosting like a free, 100% free training on the 18th of September, where I'm going to show you how to uncover your lifetime value so you can stop selling, start sharing, and receive more money with ease. So definitely come and learn about like your lifetime value and how to be able to talk to people in such a way that you're not trying to convince them that this is for their own good, but that you can see how everything connects to each other. So like if you can show someone, if you're a relationship coach and you can show them how you can save them, you know, time, energy, and money, like in actual measurable numbers, then you don't have a problem telling them, you know, okay, in exchange for me gifting you with my gift to be able to do this, to show you how you're going to lose money, you know, you don't have a problem receiving, you know, $5,000-$10,000 for it or $100
yeah,
or whatever
cool.
your fee is.
I'm
yeah.
cool with that, yeah. Yeah. That'd be good. I like money. I like
yeah,
money.
You know, it's just an energy. People need to understand. It's just an energy.
Right.
You know,
right.
Yeah. Oh, and get the book on Amazon.com. You can go. There's a link to the book from the website, but you can get the book on Amazon.com and then send me, there's a little thing on the inside that says, like, you know, send me a note and I'll send you back some free goodies and, you know, yay, connect with me. Because I love connecting.
I am so glad. I'm so glad you're on the show. It was fantastic. I think we've all learned so much about this philosophy and a different way to look at things. I'm not a big fan of affirmations. I think that they just, I don't know, there's something about them that kind of just like, I feel like I'm lying to, I feel like I'm lying to myself when I'm doing affirmations. I feel like a big fat liar.
I'm going to use that one.
I do. I encourage people to do it if you can really believe what you're saying. But if you don't believe what you're saying, I completely agree with what you said earlier. It just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. So I hope you'll come back on the show again soon.
Oh,
and
love
to. We can talk more. It was so much fun. I really enjoyed it.
Me too, Lisa. Thank you, everyone. And make sure, theyamiuniversity.com. Stop by and say hey.
All right. We'll do that. Thanks, Tiffany.
Thank
Great
you.
Great talking
Bye-bye.
To you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, everyone. We have a great second episode coming up, a second segment to the show coming up with Stephen Lewis. This man is amazing, and I am really impressed with what he does. I read his book, and now I am addicted to what he does, I believe. Luckily, I don't think I have to do anything more now that I've signed up for his program. I'm pretty sure he does everything else. So I'm going to bring him on in just a couple of minutes, so everybody hang in there with me through a couple commercials, and we'll be back.
Imagine a world where bullying isn't considered a normal part of childhood.
A world where I'm not afraid to go to school.
To speak out.
To be myself.
A world where I'm not afraid to be caught alone.
Come on, punk.
We have the power to stop the bullying. Speak out.
Speak up.
Educate.
Find out what to look for and how you can make a difference at bullying.org.
Bullying is not kids being kids.
It's not about good homes or bad homes.
It's not a normal part of growing up.
I shouldn't be afraid to get out of school.
To turn on my computer.
Message. A lock to my locker.
Did you know that a bully will stop his or her behavior in 10 seconds when their peers speak up?
Use your voice.
Hey, leave him alone.
We have the power to stop bullying.
Find out more at bullying.org.
Bullying.org.
Where you're not alone.
Where you're not alone.
Where you're not alone.
Sunday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern, tune in to Right Stream Radio Network for Just Believe with author and metaphysician Lisa Tarvis. Lisa interviews experts in the areas of health and wellness, alternative healing, paranormal phenomena, intuitive guidance, and positive living. With her own inimitable down-to-earth style, Lisa makes both guests and callers welcome and appreciated. Just Believe with Lisa Tarvis, Sunday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the Right Stream Radio Network.
You're listening to the Right Stream Radio Network, rejoicing in the flow of creativity. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Right Stream and hashtag Right Stream. Thanks for listening to the Right Stream Radio Network.
We are back. You're listening to Just Believe Radio. I am Lisa Tarvis. My next guest, I am so excited about introducing to everyone. I don't know how he is not already a household name. I really don't. He wrote a book. I got some information on it. I read the book. I booked him on the show right away. I read the book. I'm just amazed. I'm just going to let him talk for himself, but let me just read his bio really quickly. Stephen Lewis is the developer of the AIM program of energetic balancing and co-author of Sanctuary, The Path to Consciousness. After decades of extensive study and practice in the healing arts and quantum mechanics, he closed his referral-only private practice in 1998 to launch the Energetic Matrix Church of Consciousness and AIM. His spiritual holographic self-healing technology that helps nearly 60,000 worldwide heal, what Stephen finds to be the energetic causes behind their disease potentials 24/7 as they lead their busy lives. And while he continues his relentless expansion of AIM, which stands for All-Inclusive Method, he makes time to update his AIM participants weekly on his Everything is Energy radio show and adds to his library of healing related articles featuring such intriguing titles as Deconstructing, Reconstructing, Humpty Dumpty. I love that, by the way. Stephen's timeless novel, Sanctuary, The Path to Consciousness, chronicles his decades of work in private practice and the eventual evolution of the AIM program. I did read the book, and I really, really, really enjoyed it, and I found that
he simplifies a energetic balancing method, and I need him to explain it for really on his own by himself, because it's just if you haven't read the book, which probably some of you haven't, the fact that 60,000 people are following it, it should be like 60 million people should be part of this program. It really should. So let me bring Stephen on the air now. Stephen, are you with me?
I am with you.
Hi. Thanks for being on the show. I really appreciate it. I have been it's so funny because the other day when we talked on the phone, my husband was, I had you on speaker, and my husband was in the sitting room across from where I was in our bedroom, and he's like, my God, does that guy have you pinned? Like everything that you found, like energetically, you know, that was wrong with me, it makes complete sense, even to my husband who doesn't live in my body. So it was really interesting, and so I signed up right away. If you can impress my pilot husband, believe me, you can. That's an impressive thing, because he's a very scientific kind of, like, see it, touch it, feel it kind of thinker, you know. So it's a little different, but. So your book, The Sanctuary, The Path to Consciousness, it describes your extensive background and the basic concepts of self-healing. Can you tell me a little bit?
Hello? Hello?
We're not having this problem again, are we?
I'm here. I
can you hear me okay?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yep, you're good. Okay, go ahead.
All right. I will go ahead if you repeat what you just said.
Okay.
I missed something.
Yeah, the last week, for some reason, this has been cutting out on us every once in a while. I'm not sure what's going on. But anyway, so in your book, You're explain everybody how the book came about. What were you doing, and what made you? You completely did. I know because I read the book. I know, but everyone who has them, what made you do the complete? Really, I mean, from going to having such a hugely successful personal practice into creating creating the actual sanctuary.
Lisa, you have no idea what a complex question that is. My practice was very successful, and yet it's kind of funny because I never spoke publicly. I never wrote any articles. I never did a damn thing. In fact, to get a new patient to see me, they had to have a personal referral that was verified, because without that verification, my name was in the Hollywood Reporter and here and there and there and there, so had no meaning. And with all of that, I was working more than I wanted to work, more than I should. I was working almost 6 days a week, and I'm not a workaholic. And the waiting period for a new patient was about 3.5 years. Now, that's not entirely true, because yeah, you know, there's a world of politics out there, and if you had some pull and some connections, we'd find a way to get you in. I mean, the Rockefellers didn't wait 3.5 years, but that's what my private practice was like. And I think in some ways the first seeds of destruction come from thought and introspection. And I said, you know, I've been given this gift. What's it for? Is this what it's for? And the answer was a resounding no. There was something that was happening in the world, and when I figured out what that was, I understood that I was not given this gift, and it's a gift. Many people are given gifts. I've been given, we all have. This is one I was given. It was not just to cater to the needs of the very rich and very famous in Los Angeles and Hollywood.
right.
Or actually New York or London, to everyone flew in. But it was rather a gift that was not, didn't have that kind of selectivity. And I thought about it, and I went and stopped working for a little while, which created a big problem. I mean, it was insanity. It was like became a thing in Los Angeles. What happened to Stephen Lewis?
Right.
And I was figuring out things. And then I came back, and that was it. I said, okay. And I had developed something, and I felt that this was for the entire world. It no longer was absurdly expensive, and I was very expensive. It didn't matter what I charged. And whatever I charged, people said, why are you telling me? Send a bill to my agent. That's all. What do I care what it costs? And that was their attitude.
Right.
I just got paid $20 million for a movie. Why do I care what you're charging me?
Right.
Well, okay. You know. But I felt, no, I had a responsibility. And I wrote about what was happening, what caused that in the book, Sanctuary, The Path to Consciousness. And we wrote this book. I had a patient of mine write it with me. And it took on its own life.
Right.
And there it is. And yet it slowed down. And I understand a little bit about that also, because what I'm doing and what we are doing is, it may not be something that is in the grand scheme of things for the planet right now. These are things that I will only know in finality. I will only know at the end when I can look back and say, oh, now I see. And that's so often, that's so true of much of life. You can look back and say, now it makes sense. You know, I mean,
right.
I only know where I've been. That's enough.
Right.
And if I know just where I've been, then I can take a step forward. One foot always rests on very solid ground. The other one never rests at all.
Right.
So there's a summary of what makes me tick, either in a nutshell or from a nutcase or both, which they're not mutually exclusive. And whatever you prefer. So I developed this program because I felt there was a need for it in the world. Subsequent events have affirmed that there is a greater need than ever. That need is to some extent under the radar of the media, but that will not last very long. It can't and it won't. So here we are. So instead of 60 million people, it's only 60,000 people. And
yeah.
In a way, I look at that and say, well, you know, those who are meant to be involved will be involved. Those
right.
who are not meant to will not be involved. And I am very simply a messenger, just as you are, Lisa.
Right.
And what do messengers do? They deliver the message and move on, and deliver the message and move on, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And you don't stick around and say, okay, you got the message. Now what? Now what? Now what? That's not what a messenger does.
Right. No, and you're right.
Once
you're right.
I deliver the message, it's now your responsibility, not mine.
Right. Right. Well,
so,
for me, the whole thing, the program, when I first found out about you, I read what you did. I read what you do. And I was, of course, I love the idea of we're all bodies of energy, and the idea that people don't understand that energy can be used to heal or prevent energetic problems later on, I don't get that. I don't understand why it's not common sense to everyone. Because me, as I, you know, I'm a Reiki master. I use energy to
you are a master. You are a master in an energetic field.
So and it
and
makes
so
sense.
Of course
to me
you get it.
Right. Right. But I think and I mean this is why I think this is so important that we get your message out there, your information out there, because I really think that people are
just starting, the last few years especially, to get it a little bit. They're starting to understand that energy works. I know that because I'm busy. You know?
Well, they are. You're exactly right. And if I can interrupt you,
no,
that's exactly right. And that's why you're busy.
Right. Because people are getting it. Right.
And if people are getting it, it means the time for it to be perceived is closer or present or at hand. And until you reach that time, you may be correct in what you're saying, but it is not correct for the planet.
Right.
And so it is not relevant.
Right.
If you are ahead of your time,
right,
you're out of sync. You are not
right.
relevant. If you're behind your time, you're obsolete. That's the value of being in the moment.
You know, it's so funny because when I read the book, and am I allowed to tell everybody what character you are in the book?
Sure, of course.
Okay. I when I'm reading the book, and Stephen is Max in the book, and I was like, this guy talks in riddles. I'm like, what the hell is he talking about? And it's like you have to read it like 3 times, and then you're like, oh, okay, I get it. You know, it was like you kept saying to that one point that the frequency of illness is not illness itself. And I had to read that a few times and be like, okay, wait a minute. And then there was the character Jane who had cancer that she was, I guess, very terminal. She'd already been through 2 or 3 rounds of chemo and didn't want to do any more. And you kept telling her, she kept asking if she was cured of cancer. And you kept saying, Max kept saying, I don't cure diseases. Explain that thinking.
Let me try to explain this, okay? First of all, it's hard to understand because it's so simple.
Yeah.
That's the irony. Now, I remember when I had a meeting once with Wayne Dyer in his house back when he lived in Florida, and we were talking about the AIM program, talking about my spiritual technology. And he said, hey, Steve, when I use holograms, your hologram, I will use your hologram, Lisa, and that means anything about you that's unique. It could be a lock of your hair. If you want to get down with it, it could be some saliva. If you want it, or anything, but I use a photograph because I can't look at saliva and say, oh, there's Lisa.
Right.
But if I look at your photograph, I can tell right away I'm pretty good. So especially if I have your name written underneath it, all right?
Yeah, that helps.
Now, Wayne said to me, hey, Steve, this stuff with photographs, my picture is in the DMV. I said, so is everyone else's, Wayne, everybody who drives. He said, why is it doing anything? I said, because it's just a picture. What do you want it to do? And he said, I don't understand. I said, all right, Wayne, if you were at Home Depot and you saw a chainsaw and you saw a stack of wood, would you turn to me and say, hey, Steve, why isn't that saw cutting the wood? They're just tools. Your picture, your hologram is a tool.
Right.
It's the power of your intention that make things happen. That is what healing is about. Healers are very misnamed.
Right.
They don't heal you. I can heal anything in the world, but the problem is I can only do it for one person, me.
Right.
It doesn't do a damn thing for you. But
right. Right.
I am a healer because I can change your consciousness. And with that change in consciousness, you are far more able to heal yourself. And that is the essence of healing. That's why all the great healers, and I do not include myself in that number at all, said things like, you could do better stuff than this if you had the faith of a mustard seed or whatever it is.
Right.
Because there is no limitation on healing. Now, you spoke about energy. there's a kind of, you know, everything is energy. But you know what? So what? Because I can tell you everything about energy in under 1 second. Do you realize that?
No, do it. Go ahead.
Okay. You ready?
Yeah.
It is.
Ooh, that was quick. Okay. It is.
That was,
all
under,
right.
That was under a second, right?
That
when
was
I
under
say
a second,
that, here, okay.
And that's true.
What else is there to say? For example, is there a smell that energy has?
No.
Is there a color? Is there a taste? Is there a size? Is there a shape? Is there a time?
No.
There is no property about energy. What? And yet everything is energy. But we deal in a finite world, okay? We deal in a particulate world as opposed to a world of a wave. And we say, there's a difference between my elbow and my whatever, or what is the difference? What creates that difference? And the answer is consciousness.
Okay.
Consciousness shapes energy for better and for worse. Now, that's the good news and the bad news, Lisa, because if you have something about you you don't like, oh, let's call it cancer or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you, with your consciousness, can heal it in your consciousness. And once something doesn't exist in your consciousness, it will not exist in your physical realm, your body. That's the link between consciousness and the body. You sustain, you energize, you feed things with consciousness. Remove that consciousness, whatever you're healing will wither away and be gone, because we are energetic beings that are shaped by consciousness for better and for worse. The stuff you're trying to heal was shaped with consciousness. Your healing it is shaping energy into a different form with consciousness. And that is the power of your intention. You can heal anything. There is no doubt. There's no question about can you heal anything. There is a question, though. The question is, will you?
Right.
Aha, that's a different issue. Yeah, you can heal anything. Are you going to do it? Will you do it? And that, and now I'm kind of segueing into the AIM program, because what does it take for you to heal whatever you need to heal? And when I say whatever you need to heal, because I sure as hell do not have to heal my ovaries.
Right,
and
right.
And you have a perfect prostate.
Yeah.
And so on and so on.
Right.
However, whatever you do need to heal, what does it take? Is it, you have to give it, oh, let's say 15 minutes every day, and one day, one whole complete day every other weekend? Or what? You must give it whatever it needs. End of story.
So how does
now,
someone do
How does someone do that? Well, every book you ever read about healing always says something to the effect of, hey, if you live in the mountains, get thee to the sea. If you lived in the ocean, just go get thee to the mountains. In other words, get away from here and go someplace where you focus on healing yourself. And come back when you're finished healing yourself. That there, my dear, is a prodigal son.
Right.
That's fundamentally what it means. And you can't say, I'm giving you 15 minutes. You will give it whatever it needs if you're going to succeed. The AIM program is the greatest irritant the world has ever known. It forces you, it compels you to focus on healing whatever you need to heal 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for a year at a time, without a break. And I'll tell you, if you're on that program, at some point you say, I want a break. Can't have it. Because sometimes healing can be less than a lot of fun. And you know
right.
that.
Right.
But you ain't going to get a break, because That's just the way it is. And you will, in whatever period it takes, a year, year and a half, it's roughly that, you will be, you will, as I said to you the other day in our talk, you will be the first person in the history of your family with no family history.
You I love that. I told you that the other day when we talked. I think that's perfect. When I thought that up,
I started laughing because it was just, it broke me up. I broke me up. Because we, and this is also something that's hard to get, we are dictated to and determined, and our destiny is controlled by what we bring to the table with us. Now, you can call that, if you're very New Agey, call it karma. But if you're not, you can call it hereditary or genetic. And it's the same thing.
Right.
And it is both, actually. Nothing happens without a reason. And if you can't find the reason, or I can't find the reason, the answer is not there's no reason. The answer is very simply, I can't figure out the reason yet. Give me some time. Because nothing happens without a reason. And
no,
it's incredibly arrogant to say there's no reason.
You touched on this before a little bit, but explain what's energetic, what is the difference between an energetic imbalance and the actual disease itself?
When you speak of a disease itself, you are speaking of it existing in the body. Okay? If you've got chicken pox, your skin looks like a pizza, and so on and so on. Okay?
Right.
However, your body, your DNA, is shaped by your consciousness. That is the power of your intention. You are simply a pile of cells of DNA that trail along after your consciousness. You exist first in your consciousness, and then your body trails along. And if you wish to change something about you, you change it in your consciousness. It doesn't take long for your body to catch up. You can describe that as mind over matter if you want, or any other way it's been done. And it's always been the case. It's in every healer, every ascended master has referred to that, because you can change anything about your life. You can heal yourself. But you do it by changing your consciousness. And once again, just as a healer heals you by changing your consciousness, however he does it. Instead of talking to Stephen Lewis, you are talking to a true ascendant master. Perhaps just my talking, hearing me on the phone would do it. From what I've read, it happens with Buddha, with Christ, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm just a work in progress. I'm not there yet. You know, I hope to be, but it's not now.
Right.
But you can change everything about you, and that's called healing. And there are a trillion ways, things to help you heal yourself. For me, I don't approach it egocentrically or egotistically. Anyone who can help me is welcome. Come on in, pal. It's fine
right.
with me.
Right.
That's not always the case, though. It's very important not to let your ego get in the way. And it does, and that's why. I'll tell you a funny story. When I was much younger, I was on the road with this, showing people, speaking, and then I would take a day or so doing little mini evaluations. Someone would sit in front of me with my computer, and I would say, okay, you have the frequency of hereditary and active cancer that came from your mother. You have the frequency of this, they call it heart disease, from your father. You have this, you have that, you have that, et cetera. This is you. This one has become active, an active frequency. A second, when I finished, which only took about 4 or 5 minutes, they would say, I need to sign up. Where? Who do I talk to? Quick. Everybody. But that's what I'm saying here. This is you, because people recognize it. Just as you, or you and your husband, recognize, yes, of course I was right about you, because you told me about you.
Right.
I was looking at your photograph, which
right.
is to say your hologram, and said, what frequencies are present there? Because I don't know. I've never met you in my life.
Right.
And it's a chance we never will meet.
The method that you use, though, when you're using this, are you able to actually visually see the imbalances, or are you using some
as a matter of fact, I can visually, the word wouldn't be see, but I can feel often, but not okay. with enough accuracy to use. However, okay. with the computer, using the program I wrote and using the technology I developed, and it is, again, a spiritual technology, I can get an immediate answer. Yes, you have this. No, you don't. It's simply I use a probe, and in that pathway is either you or something unique to you. In your case, I was using your picture.
Right.
And said, what frequencies are present here? Because information is energy. Information is energy shaped by consciousness. I think your previous guest was saying fundamentally the same thing.
Right.
And you can read that. It's there. It's all there. You and I touched upon a vision of the world as my mentor, my hero, saw, and that's a man named David Bohm. Because my field is subtle energy physics, and he mm-hmm. was an icon. So according to David Bohm, there are two different orders of life, the visible and the invisible. The visible aspect of life is a small corner of the whole package. Just a tiny little piece, and the rest is invisible. To most of us, there's probably some area of life that you can perceive that is invisible to most people. But it's visible to you, and you know it's true. Just as people who look at, it's called past life regression, there are those who can visualize that and see it, and it's real. But if you can't do it, what we usually say is, we don't say, I can't do it. We say, it's a bunch of bunk, and it's just, you know, a fraud, et cetera. And that's the way people think very often. And you know what? If that's what they're meant to think, that's fine. Some people will think that way and then suddenly go, I get it. I mean, among my 60,000 people on the AIM program, I've had many, many who say, I woke up one morning and went, oh, wait a minute, I get it. I understand
right.
what he's saying.
Right.
And that's fine. You will understand things in your time, when it's time to understand. And so will your audience, and so will my audience.
Right.
And if it's not time, you can't say, well, what are you going to do? You just simply say, well, that's it, folks. Nice talking to you. Nice seeing you. Thank you for hosting me. And you move on.
Right.
I don't go out on the road and do that anymore because I'm a card-carrying geriatric. I'm old. And I work more than I've ever worked in my life, but I'm not willing to travel to do it.
Right. Yeah,
we only have
so many years
old.
That in us. Yeah. We have a caller on the line. Do you mind taking a call?
Not at all. Sure.
Okay. Hold on 1 second. I think he said his name is Dave. 512 error code. Is this Dave?
This is Dave. Greetings.
Hi. How are
Hello,
you?
Dave.
Do you have a question? Steven?
Well, yeah. What an honor, Stephen. I get to actually chat with you. You've gifted me with your program for the last 3 years. I guess I have. I came up with some autistic prions. And here's my question is kind of convoluted, but I think you'll get where I'm coming from. I've been a pro musician all my life since a very young age. Got pretty high up the food chain. About 10 years ago, my daughter was born, and I totally walked away from that that world, that life. And, you know, I mean, sometimes these musicians leave quite a trail of debauchery behind them. At any rate, I got on your program, and my life has just been upside down for 3 years now. I am highly, highly intuitive, empathic, and you know, the funny thing for me is I can see others when they sit in front of me. I do life coaching, but I haven't really put that into something that I can turn into a business. There's something in me that won't, you know, allow that to happen.
Uh-huh.
But my question is, for folks that are like us, I think you kind of got onto this earlier, I am so good at others, and I can see exactly what's going on, but my own life is a mystery to me.
Well, so your question is, I'm not sure what your question is, because, very simply, you will know about your life as you are meant to know it. And I think you may be expecting more than you can get, Dave, simply because I find for me, often I'm the last to know about me, because I can see me with the greatest clarity in others. Other people are my mirror. I can perceive how I'm making them feel. I can perceive if I am someone who is coming to them with a positive meaning, with love, with this, with that, whatever, or if I am coming to them with an ulterior motive. Others are my mirror, and I'm content to accept that. Let me comment on something that you said. You're part of the AIM program because of an autism scholarship.
Yes,
that's an interesting story, because there are people who have been of great help spiritually to all of us, and some have churches, some don't, but it doesn't matter. We can recognize them. One of them is a guy named Wayne Dyer, and Wayne's a friend of mine, and I had said to Wayne and many, many others, look, you know, if you meet someone who needs this, everybody does, but it's not expensive, but if they need it, they can't afford it, you know what? Make it a Wayne Dyer scholarship. Boy, whatever it is, it is. And so one day Wayne called me and said, Steve, I met this beautiful child, but she has almost no affect whatsoever. She's autistic. He said, what is this stuff? Can you figure it out? So I said, well, let's look at her picture. And we put her on the AIM program, and I found several frequencies that were hereditary, genetic, karmic, if you want. And they were present in her, but not known to mankind, or medicine, or whatever you call it. But they were then put on the program. She healed them. Great. About 6 months later, we got a call from someone who was actually one of her parents, and said, you know, she's no longer autistic. Her caregivers, her physicians, they all say that. And I went, great. And I didn't think about it. I didn't know anything about autism. I didn't think about it. It was not in my consciousness. But suddenly, in weeks after that, the phones were just lighting up, people calling saying, my kid was autistic and now is not, and on and on. I went, oh, great. Well, it culminated when I went to, I was in Australia speaking. It was in Sydney, I believe. It might have been Melbourne, I'm not sure, I forget. And there's always a question and answer period. And so a little girl walked up to the front and said, can I thank you? Well, I'm not an idiot. Of course you can thank me. Anyone can thank me. I kind of like it. I said, yes, sure, of course. But for what? And she said, well, I couldn't have thanked you a year ago, And now I can. I was autistic. Now I'm not. So thank you. Well, that shut me up. I couldn't even speak. I just gasped, and the whole room, my wife was with me, just started sobbing, but she does that anyway. And I took that as a message, and I said, that is a message. Anyone on the AIM program who shows the frequency of autism, the program's free. As long as that frequency shows, it's free. And that's how that scholarship happened, Dave.
So one more question real quick. It's the emotional, my life has been very challenging because of the emotional content that I've carried, and I think I inherited that. And I'm just kind of wondering, you know, after 3 years on the machine, I'm still having the emotional part of my life is very much still corrupted, let's say. So
yeah,
I'm wondering what that statement means to you.
Yeah, see, let me interrupt you and say this. There is a meaning and there is something about it, but I can't talk to you over the phone, as it were, and tell you the answer, because the answer is not the answer for everyone. It's your particular answer for you. Can
gotcha.
I find what
I
frequencies are present if I do an evaluation? Sure. And if you have a facilitator, you can request that evaluation. But just sitting here talking to you, I'm just like you. You know, I don't. I'm just here, man. I don't.
I
can't tell you without looking.
I hear you.
Okay.
Well, thanks for everything,
well,
Stephen.
Thank
I appreciate
you for calling in. My pleasure.
Yeah, thanks
thank
for
you
calling,
Dave.
It was great talking to you, and it's great to hear somebody that's on the program that's actually having so much success. And I'm real happy you were able to call in.
Thank you.
Thank you. So that's a great, I mean, there's a great, great one for you. So, I mean, you know, somebody who's doing it and has had their life completely change for the better because of it. So, you know, people that are wondering, how does this work? You know what, if it's too much to wrap your mind around, because, you know, for some people it is. For me, even being a metaphysician and being a holistic health practitioner and understanding energy and energy healing, it's still a lot to think about. I mean, it's still hard to, it's still, you know, not an easy concept. You know, but when you hear success stories, you can't help but be like, there's something, you know, there's something here. Now, you use technology. I mean, this is something like different from how I work with energy. You work with energy using technology. Can you explain that to everyone a little bit?
Well, yeah, I can. I mean, because I came from a background of technology. If you are a Reiki master, you came fundamentally from a background of spirituality.
Yes.
In the world of quantum mechanics, you do not start with that background. I never believed for a moment I would be involved in anything connected to spirituality. It's kind of like with quantum mechanics and with spirituality, it's two different forces approaching an intersection. And when they meet, they leave taking the same pathway. That is what quantum physics is about, as opposed to Newtonian physics. That distinction between town and gown, that distinction between science and spirituality no longer exists. And that is part of that's part of the revolution and the miracle that's happening right here and now. And it's the reason your audience has grown so much, so rapidly, so recently, Lisa, because
right.
That thought is pervading the population at an ever increasing rate. And as that thought, that reality, the reality, very simply, that is the reality of consciousness. As that pervades, people will listen to you more and more, because what you do, both on the radio and in your private work, is about consciousness. I mean, look at it this way. What do you think? What is consciousness? Let me interview you. We'll trade let's trade hats for a minute. What do you think consciousness is?
See, I have a big consciousness to me I think when I describe it almost doesn't make sense, because consciousness to me is our being. It's our being, and I don't necessarily think that we're necessarily in tune with our consciousness. I think
how do you
that,
like being? I put you in the firing ahead. Line for a change, yeah.
yeah, there you go. That's not fair. It's my show.
Yeah, well, that's okay. You know, you deal with a rebellion now and then. I'll tell you what I think consciousness is, Lisa. I think it's the degree to which you perceive your connection with everyone and everything in the entire universe. And that is why when someone has what we call quantum consciousness, they perceive their connection to everything in the entire universe. Everything is part of them holographically, part of their hologram. As you exclude part of the universe, your hologram proportionally decreases. It is your consciousness that can expand it and increase it. And as you include the universe into you holographically, by expanding your consciousness, you include those who are with you, who are helping you, who are in this thing with you all the way. As a matter of fact, that is part of the problem I have with most religions, that they have lost their connection to spirituality. Spirituality is inclusive, not exclusive. Everybody's chosen. If you choose, it comes down to what you choose, and it comes down to your personal responsibility.
So you're saying basically, I mean, and this is true, that consciousness is actually your perception. So if you're perceiving things that you didn't perceive before, you're able to heal them?
Yes, absolutely. Look at it this way. There are things to you right now that are commonplace. Things that you just know. But
right. You
can point to some of those things and say, well, a decade or two ago, I didn't have a clue about that. Correct?
Right. Absolutely, yeah. Sure.
Yeah, well, because your consciousness is increasing. Because your whole life has been set up to increase your consciousness. That's
sure.
True for you. It's true for me. It ain't true for everyone.
Right.
I know many, many people who have no interest in having a greater consciousness. They have interest in having a greater bank account or whatever it may be, but not a greater consciousness. That's why, in a way, you and I are here talking to each other. We're each preaching to the choir. But hopefully someone wants to join that choir who's listening.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's the entire reason that I do the show. You know, hopefully.
Yeah,
you get...
I know.
Yep.
You're a messenger.
It's not for the money.
You're a messenger, and it's a noble, noble profession. So am I.
Right. I there's so much that I want to ask you, and we have like, I don't know, 10 minutes of that. So I want to cover some things. I know you have an offer that. Oh, first of all, before I get to that, this works basically for pets. Your pets, right? You can do this for your pets. You can do this for, I think I even saw like space, like land and things like that. Is that true?
Houses, yes.
Houses,
but,
okay.
You know, it's true, but I don't really understand it. Pets, yes, they're totally conscious.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Even plants are conscious.
Right.
A house. You know what? People began putting their houses on the program, and they said, I'll pay for it. I want my house on. And
right. Enough
people did it, so there are thousands of houses receiving energetic balancing. I was wondering what the hell is going on. And people were saying to me, things that used to go wrong don't go wrong anymore. I go, yeah, great, congratulations. Till finally my wife said to me, why don't you put our house on? Well, the price is right for me. I mean, obviously. Sure,
you're
put
not,
it on, honey.
I'm not going to set you back.
But I still don't understand it. I mean, but I'll tell you a funny story about that, though, about plants. You know Michael Beckwith?
Yes.
Okay. Well, Michael's a good friend of mine, and all of his family, he put them all on the AIM program. He took their pictures one weekend at his backyard, his house, at a family gathering. And so everybody stood one by one in front of this particular bush, which was part of a hedge, and took their pictures. The pictures went on. He called me a year or so after that saying, I got to have the rest of my hedge on the program. I said, why is that, Michael? He said, because the hedge where they were standing, their pictures, it's huge and lush, and it looks like, you know, the god of plants. It's, and the others are fine, but they look like little stunted dwarves next to it.
Isn't that funny?
Isn't that funny? It's a trip. And so he sends pictures of his hedge, and now the rest of the hedge caught up. What's happening? I don't know. The hedge knows. When you heal yourself, you're going to be on the program, hopefully, commencing Monday.
Monday, yep.
As you heal yourself, each thing that you will heal, you will know inside you. That's true for plants. It's true for animals. That you may not know the term for what you've healed in Latin or Greek or whatever it is. Certainly, I've got a cat sitting here in back of the monitor looking at me. He doesn't know the name in Latin for what he heals. All he says is he knows his meow.
Right.
But he knows what it is without the words. And he knows he needs to heal it, and he's doing it. And his life force is 100 on a scale of 100. And he knows what it is. And you know what it is you will heal. But you will heal some things that names you don't know. You will heal some things that have no real name because they're imbalances I found in someone and put them on AIM.
How many imbalances have you found so far? Is there a number, or have you lost count?
Well, it's not exact. It's about 500,000.
Jeez, wow, okay.
Right, it's a lot.
That's a lot,
what
yeah.
I do is measure. Whenever something's wrong, I measure it and see what its frequency is. Excuse me. Then I find a balancing frequency, and they go on the AIM program. And then you, when you're on, if you need to heal this, you, by virtue of something I call the Rosetta frequency, a translating frequency, you will select it and keep selecting and keep selecting until you don't need to select because it's healed, it's gone. Now, that's important because there is no one alive or dead who can focus on 500,000 things. I mean, hell, if you can think 20 moves ahead in chess, you're a grandmaster. But
right.
Of that 500,000, maybe 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 pertain to you, and the rest do not. The rest are like my ovaries. There's no such thing.
Right, exactly.
And with this Rosetta frequencies, you will select what you need and ignore the rest. And so the balance of that 500,000 imbalances, frequencies, you ignore because you don't need to.
Right.
And perhaps you will ignore something until maybe some Christmas Eve. You kiss the hostess under the mistletoe, and the next morning you have a tingling in your lip or something, and you'll suddenly select a frequency you've ignored up until that time.
It's just amazing.
You will know.
The whole concept is just so amazing, and I love it. I mean,
I
love it. Because to me, it makes sense, even though it's kind of, like you said, it feels complicated,
But I think it's because it's so damn simple, you know? I mean,
it's exactly that. You see, the problem is this. We have become divorced from our intuition and our sense. We become divorced from healing because of science. We have come to rely on science. And yet, there are many things, most things about us, cannot be dealt with in a purely scientific way. There are no medications. It's about healing. And I'll tell you something about that, just as an adjunct. I have never met a physician, a medical doctor, who was worth anything, who didn't understand that his patient's capacity to heal, or the lack of that capacity, didn't understand that was the most important thing about that patient.
Right.
That's the difference between someone who is supposedly in hospice and a couple of years later is playing tennis.
Right.
And someone who goes in for a hangnail and it becomes terminal.
Right, right. Yeah.
That is how important it is. I mean, I can't overstate it.
Well, I know you have a very, very great offer that I want to read that was sent to me. By the way, everyone that I've talked to that's involved with you, all your staff, everyone that I've talked to, emailed with, whatever, have been amazing. They're an amazing, amazing group of very kind, happy people. So I want to compliment you on that because you have an incredible staff. And I did get this offer sent to me so that I could read it for everyone. So everybody get your pens out or your pencils out and your paper. People can learn more about AIM and all the resources they offer at www.aimprogram.com. That's A-I-M, aimprogram.com. And you can also access Stephen's weekly Everything is Energy show. As a thank you for all our listeners, Stephen has a special offer of a free copy of his book, Sanctuary, The Path to Consciousness, either in paperback format or the audio 6-CD set version for the first 20 people in the U.S. who act. So here's how to get your copy. Go to www.aimprogram.com and click on the Request AIM Info Kit tab at the top right. Fill in your information, including your mailing address. Type in my name or the name of the show as your source. So you can either type in Lisa Tarvis or type in Just Believe. And in the comments area, type either book or audio set. And that's for anybody who lives in the United States. If you live outside the United States, I think does the offer apply? I'm not really sure. I think you have to get a copy via Kindle if you're outside the U.S. and there's a free Kindle download.
I think that's it. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, there's a free Kindle download for the PC, and if you want to buy the Kindle version, it's $9.99. So, and believe me, it's worth every dime. The book is amazing. I enjoyed reading it. I was boggled. My mind was so boggled, and I kept thinking I am overcomplicating this the entire time I was reading it. I knew I was, and my husband's like, "What are you reading?" Because I'm talking to myself as I'm reading it. I'm like, just trying to. I think this is too simple, you know, and I'm just trying to understand the whole thing. But this is an awesome offer, and I encourage all my listeners to get their butts on aimprogram.com right now, and not only get the book and all of the stuff, but really the price of the program for what it can do to you, how it can change your life, it is worth every penny. So anyway, I want to thank you for being on the show. I'm gonna have to cut it off because we're gonna lose it. But I wanted to really thank you a lot. I think this is amazing, and I definitely would love to have you back on again.
I accept. I'd love to.
Thank you. Thank you very much, everyone. www.aimprogram.com. Stephen Lewis. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you again, Lisa. My pleasure.
Bye bye. All right, everyone. That was a great episode of Just Believe Radio. I loved it. It was awesome. I just loved I love both segments and really everybody get on to go check out this AIM. It's a program. It's amazing. Every week my show is on at let's see what time 1 p.m. Eastern. on Sundays. It's called Just Believe on the Right Stream Network. Tune in next week. Tune in every week. And until then, everybody have a super safe week ahead. And you know what? Try and find some joy. There's lots of joy out there. Find some. Live it. Talk to you all next week. Bye-bye.